Given the reoccurring theme throughout the series about celebrating and sharing our stories, I wanted to conclude the series by highlighting the importance of embracing and celebrating culture as part of building a truly inclusive community. In this final episode of the series, I sit down with Karen Richards, who shares her work promoting and celebrating African heritage and culture. Through music, dance, and cultural ceremonies, Karen invites all Edmontonians and Canadians to embrace their cultural heritage. You may recognize Karen from season 5 of Amazing Race Canada, where she and her husband made it all the way to the final 14. Karen is a community activist, and her roots for community activism stems from watching her parents who were actively involved in the Ghanaian community of Edmonton. She has taken on a number of board positions in Edmonton, including the Ghanaian Friendship Association of Edmonton, Clearview Multicultural Center, and the Council of Canadians of African and Caribbean Heritage. Karen is an avid supporter of using dance and music to share culture, and as the program coordinator of Ghana Cultural Heritage Program, she is teaching all Edmontonians to be passionate and excited about celebrating and preserving their cultural heritage. This is the untold story of Karen Richards.
My husband had said a quote where he said, "Nobody knows racism as a black man with a white person's name." And I think that a huge reason why that makes sense is to actually see it played out where people's expectations of who I am based on maybe what they see on a paper versus what happens in real life when they meet me, people are often surprised. So I think that's a huge piece of my experience as a black woman. I have a white person's name for sure, and right now it's a very unpopular name. My child's in school, and she often will come to me and say, "Oh, they said Karens do this and Karens do that," and it's something that's actually happening, and she feels hurt or something by it. But I'm actually very proud of my name. I was named after a white woman who had helped my parents when they came to Canada some years ago. I am who I am, like, really and truly. I am a black woman, and I think if people are taken aback by them, that's more of their problem than it is of mine. But I love, especially now in the online and Zoom times, people will often say, "Oh, it's really nice to put a face to the name." But you can see that when they say that sentence, it's like, you are not the face that I expected that name to come from. So I really don't take anything from it. I, again, am who I am, but I do think that it's also afforded me privileges that other people have not had. So you talked about getting a job, for example. Typically, I don't have any difficulty getting an interview because they see Karen Richards. However, on my resume, it talks about all the different cultural experiences that I have and do. So, you know, sometimes maybe people put two and two together. I think also my name is interesting because it's, yes, my name is Karen Richards. My maiden name is Karen Hagen. And Hagen even in itself doesn't necessarily sound like an African name. In Ghana, in times in memoriam, they would have called it a jinn. Like, and it's a word kind of talking about wisdom, but it's been anglicized over the centuries, let's say. But I myself, I'm married to a man of Jamaican heritage, which is where Richards come from. And thinking about names, slave names are a real thing. So Richards would have been an owner how many centuries back? And so my name has been anglicized, but I don't think that I have. At least I don't think in that sense. My name is very important because it really points to all the different facets of my culture, my own identity, who I see myself as, and who others see me as too. So it is an anglicized name, but to me, it's a black woman's name because that's what I am. In this world, we are here to teach young people the things that we've learned. There's nothing more cyclical than the life cycle. So you're young, you learn things, you grow up, and you teach those things to the younger generation. So I think that in terms of culture, especially being a Canadian born, I've always had my feet kind of in two different cultures, but always on the same ground, and that always has been on Canadian ground. I think the Canadian vision or thought of multiculturalism and of pluralism is very important to Canadian identity. And what that actually means is that we need to learn to celebrate one another's cultures. We need to learn about one another's cultures. So for me, teaching pride to my children so that they feel they're able to display their culture, their heritage, the knowledge of their ancestors, and all the teachings and learnings that I've taught them, that they can display that and they can teach it to other people, that myself as an adult through different programming that I'm involved with can teach those things to other people. Because you only learn tolerance, they talk about diversity and inclusion, but those things only happen when you really and truly are able to celebrate and recognize the benefits and the positives of those cultures that you're trying to learn about. It's not about assimilation, right? It's about learning, how can I maybe in a different way acknowledge or be spiritual, or what are the different ways of knowing that I can enjoy life in? And so, yeah, I think that teaching culture to our children is our number one job. And I think that our children and ourselves then can teach those cultural learnings to others as well. Canadians, I've done different groups. I was working with the Ghana Cultural Heritage Program, which was put on by the Ghana Friendship Association of Edmonton. And in it, it was an open weekly group. And we would, through drumming, which again is so cross-cultural, Indigenous peoples use drumming. Many Asian cultures use drumming. It's something that is the heartbeat of the people. And so we can see how we can cross cultures and actually spread knowledge, spread love, spread all those things that a drum brings. In that program, it was an open program that we would have for people in the community, and we had many white people attending, brown people attending, Ghanaians, Nigerians. Everybody would come and have a good time, because we're all speaking the same language. We're speaking with our bodies through drum, through music, through dance. And then you learn with your mind. After you've kind of moved with your body, you have the opportunity to enjoy one another's cultures and learn about it too. CASH, so Council of Canadians of African and Caribbean Heritage, is a group that we really are working to build the educational, social, and economic strengths of the Black community or African and Caribbean communities. But you do that by encouraging learning and participation from all communities. So with CASH, we have our signature Afro Quiz program, which is very popular. And in that program, students are given materials 3 months beforehand to learn about Black history from around the world. So that's learning about contributions of Black people from the past, the present, and one day it'll be into the future. And all of this learning is then culminated, and they do a Jeopardy-style game show. And those kids get to showcase their knowledge. There's a little bit of competition. We have so many people that come to attend, and attendees learn. So you don't have to be of the African community to participate or to learn. And thinking about how much strength we can build when we know the contributions that people have made, you start to respect a culture, to see that it's not just that narrative of slavery, as if nothing existed for Black people before slavery, or as if only tragedy is our story. And so we're able to showcase, these are some of the amazing contributions, the different things that Black people have done in the community to really help showcase and celebrate. And that celebration is for everybody. So we have people in the competition who are from different cultures, and to have them learn that information is empowering for us. To have them then spread that information to their teachers and to their students, or for them to go forward and tell their parents about what they've learned, that's how you affect change. Because then, say they're telling a student, those students are then gonna grow up and be the next judges, or they're going to grow up and be the people who are making decisions that could affect Black people's lives. So if they can then reference positive stories of Black people, we've changed the world. Another program that CASH offers is our Saturday morning tutoring program, which is a really low cost offering that happens every week on Saturdays, and it's a mentoring and tutoring program. So our students are actually matched with University of Alberta students who are employed by CASH, and they provide tutoring for different homework or projects that kids are working on. And it also provides an opportunity for these young people to have great Black mentors, to have people who look like them, teach them and talk to them about what's going on for them in school, how to deal with different situations that come up in school, but also talk about actual academic purposes. Because again, the best way I think for our kids to learn is really immersed with people who know their types of experiences. And so it works on education, but it also works on building a community, again, even with our young people. My daughter once came to me and said, "Well, Mom, all you talk about is Black, so aren't you racist?" And so when 9-year-olds say those kinds of words, what do you really say to that? And I think that having conversations with children so they recognize and normalize that talking about race does not constitute racism, but that talking about race acknowledges difference, what we have to do is make sure we don't devalue that difference. That's when it becomes racism. So if we are able to showcase, again, positives, or recognize and celebrate that different people do different things, celebrate things in different ways, that's a wonderful thing. And so I think the number one tip I would have in terms of talking to your kids is really just helping them to know you can be proud and you should be proud. That doesn't mean for your pride that you have to put somebody else down. What it means is that you can be happy with who you are, they can be happy with who they are. And so every time that you are able to share something about your culture, have somebody else share something about their culture with you. It's about building knowledge. And that, I think, is the number one tip that I have in terms of teaching kids. And also, maybe a second tip, I guess, in terms of teaching children about culture is really to involve them. Because I love what you said in your quote, that when the music changes, the dance changes. And so maybe we've come to a point in history where that dance really is starting to change. So how can we engage in what this new dance is, recognizing all the work that people have put in to try and fight racism, to fight discrimination? Maybe it's starting to kind of work. So how can we take our new dance and let it be as culturally varied as possible? So I say, involve your kids, get them moving, get them out, participating and engaging with other people. There's so many things in this city that happen on a continuous basis from cultural groups, from different groups who are putting things on. And if they go and experience that, those are core memories you're building for your kids. My new position as an instructor at the University of Calgary has been so eye-opening, really, to think about how we engage people who are not in our community to become part of the community and help to tell our own stories. I think that what I would love to see is those narratives happening alongside the narratives that are already here. So again, we're in Canada. I don't think the intention is ever to change history. This, an example is a lot of things have happened recently in terms of residential school survivors and monuments, statues and things that have been put up for people who are now known racists and known condemners of community. So I think that you can't erase history. And I think that just trying to cover over those with new people's stories does not do justice, but rather what we need to see is stories of ourselves alongside the stories of white people in history, really. The best thing that the community could do, that governments can do, is to continue to provide opportunities for people to tell stories exactly like the one that I'm telling right now. How do we see the faces, have the representation, and again, not have those stories just be about tragedy and about negative things, but how do we provide celebratory stories? How do we provide stories that people can see across cultures? So how do we talk about families? How do we engage or talk about what work looks like or education looks like in different scenarios? And how do we then tell that story from many different angles? Art. In Edmonton, the art scene is so deep. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to provide as much support for artists that look like you and me as art, as other artists, I think is what's important. Because the world is going to be saved really by the artists. It's through that that we are able to tell these stories and to be able to celebrate culture. So I think that is the number one thing. If you can invest in the arts and invest in Black artists, governments, if you're listening, that's what I think would be the best thing to do. What I have learned now that I'm not 18 anymore, is really, even in community work, which is kind of that kumbaya, but really money talks. So I think advice to my own 18-year-old self would be to buy Black. It would be to figure out ways to build capital for yourself and for the community and invest that, reinvest that into the community so that there's options for people to have the money be within and stay within the community, because that's ultimately how it builds. We're in a capitalistic society. That's just the way that it works. So how can you build community is through businesses. You can do it through things like I do, community activism. But again, those things are free. So I think when I was younger, I'd spend maybe less time in the clubs and more time figure out ways to build my community through business.
Karen is currently the board chair of the Council of Canadians of African and Caribbean Heritage. When she's not pursuing adventures and volunteering her time, she works as a public servant and also as an instructor at the University of Calgary. The Council of Canadians of African and Caribbean Heritage is a non-profit organization that supports activities to enhance economic and educational life of African and Caribbean heritage communities. The organization provides youth opportunities, tutoring for grade school students, and coordinates the popularly known AfroQuiz, an annual Jeopardy-style quiz competition for children of all ages, celebrating the rich history of people of African and Caribbean heritage around the globe.